Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Dana Carvey and David Spade here.
You might know our podcast, Fly on the Wall, featuring guests from across the entertainment industry.
We decided to do a spinoff called Superfly, and it's fun. It's just two of us riffing on current events, pop culture, catching up, impressions.
Joe, Trump's trying to be a dictator.
Yeah, it's a bump on the tater tots.
Joe, no.
Listen to and follow Superfly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike to tell you along with Cullen Steele, coordinating everything behind the scenes at 5:45. Steve Geller will join us for Triple Option. Want to tell everybody at 6:30 tonight, it'll be Pelicans pregame coverage. And at 7 o'clock, the Pelicans will play the Toronto Raptors, and you can hear that game live right here on the Big 870 starting at 7 o'clock. And the good news is DeJounte Murray in the lineup. So we just got to see him one game, and then that was it. He has suffered the hand injury, and so back in the lineup. And we'll talk at 4:40 with Ali Cassell a little bit more about the game itself and about the impact that I think DeJounte Murray will have on this football, on this basketball team, because they they certainly could use him, and he is the orchestra leader. He knows where to go with the ball. He's a good shooter, a solid defensive guy, but, man, he sets up everybody really well out there on the court. So great to see DeJounte back with the Pelicans and back on the court today. Lady Tigers, 82, North Carolina State 65, and LSU ladies win the Baja Mar Pink Flamingo Championship.
What a name.
In Nassau. How about that, Cullen? Man, hey, you get the trophy, so that's all good.
I'd feel more comfortable saying I'm a Pink Flamingo champion.
There you go.
There you go.
Mikella Williams had 24 points today. Anissa Morrow had 20. Flaje Johnson, she had 16. And so congratulations to the Lady Tigers. And right after the game, they talked to the head coach for North Carolina State, and it was, that's a Final Four team. We just saw it. We played against a Final Four team, so they can see the talent real quickly on that Lady Tiger football, basketball team. Man, I'm all tied up, football, basketball.
Well, it's because we're back, baby. No bye week. We're here.
That's it. Also today, Pat McQuaid, the starting quarterback for Nicholls State, on social media page announced that he is entering the transfer portal. He'll have one more year left to play, and so he's out at Nicholls State at the quarterback position. Opens up a big void there for Tim Rebo and the Colonels, and started there for 2 years, Southpaw quarterback, and he's throwing himself in the transfer portal. Be interesting to see where he ends up. Today, Commanders head coach Dan Quinn
Oh, yeah.
made the announcement that Marshawn Lattimore is going to practice. Okay, people say he ain't played. He's not played. He's not practiced in that entire time since the trade to the Commanders. So Marshawn Lattimore dealing with that hamstring injury basically is now back on the practice field. Hopefully he don't hurt himself in practice. That they are void of a lot of talent.
They need him.
In the secondary. Ooh-wee. I'll watch that secondary. They're not real good. Lattimore can play. If he's healthy, he can flat-out play.
Turning into the Bengals the last couple of weeks. They're just, getting points dumped on him.
And so he certainly a nice addition to the lineup. Daniel Jones, and we got a lot of texts about this last night, about where he would end up with the Saints having interest. He did clear waivers, signed today with the Minnesota Vikings. He had a really good relationship with Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell in the pre-draft process. Man, they clicked really, really well. And so when he got a chance, he knows that basically O'Connell has done a great job with mentoring Kirk Cousins, what he's done with Sam Darnold, and what he's going to do with J.J. McCarthy, who's the rookie quarterback who's out for the season. So Daniel Jones signs with the Vikings. Also, his mentor, his quarterback coach there, will be Josh McCown, longtime NFL quarterback. I think he played for 10 different teams in the NFL.
Journeyman.
Had a long career. Man, he got a lot of W-2s. I know that. He played a long period of time. Last year, he was the quarterback coach with the Carolina Panthers, and he was under Frank Wright. But that didn't work out too well, and the owners say, hey, you got to get this step, and nobody's staying here. So Daniel Jones did sign today with the Minnesota Vikings. Also today, the injury report for the Saints, the two ones you really want to know about, Eric McCoy, Lucas Patrick, did not practice. Darren Rizzi said today that Eric McCoy would be day-to-day. Cullen, I'm going to be honest with you.
You're not liking it?
I don't really care for that too much. I think we'll find out a little bit more by Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But with that kind of re-injuring, and we don't know to what extent, and if I'm the head coach, I ain't telling nobody anything.
No.
You know, that's your problem to find out if McCoy's going to play or not. But that he pulled himself out of the game and then he's not practicing, the Saints need Eric McCoy in the lineup. That offense hums a lot better with that guy in the lineup. He could start for any team in the NFL at either center or guard. He's that good of a player, and you saw his impact when he wasn't in the lineup. And when he came back against the Browns, you saw what he could do out there. Man, he was a really good football player, and so hopefully he can practice Friday and get ready for the Rams. The Rams injury report was not out yet, so we've got to wait on them Pacific time, so to speak, on them to release that. But to beat the Rams, I'm not too worried about the Saints offense. I think they can put points up on the Rams defense. They're certainly vulnerable. They're not the same as last year. No Aaron Donald, and there's nobody that's close to him. You might say next man up. There's no human being that could play that defensive tackle position like Aaron Donald could. They had the two young rookies in Jared Verse, Braden Fisk,
mm-hmm.
both Florida State guys that are in the lineup and have played pretty well this year, to be honest with you. In watching film of last three games, they hustle. I know about Verse a lot on how quick he is off the snap, how he can close with his speed to the quarterback, and Fisk, man, he pushes that inside pocket real hard, good against the run, but their secondary, leaky. I think the Saints can do some business there. What I can't tell you is, can the Saints cover the Rams receivers of Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, and they better get a pass rush on Matt Stafford, who's an elite passer, and he's really elite when you don't put pressure on him. You saw the Eagles got after him. He was mere mortal against the Eagles, but they put a lot of pressure on Matt Stafford. So can the Saints do that? this coming Sunday, and we'll have that game live right here on the Big 870 WWL. We'll take a break and come back. My old buddy Jim Nagy, who is the executive director of the Risa Senior Bowl, will be with us talking college football and some of the top college seniors right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Cullen Steele. We'll go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. He is the executive director of the Risa Senior Bowl, Jim Nagy. Jim, thanks so much for joining us. Before I ask you a question, I'm going to tell you, the last time we met, man, it was a hot summer day. We're at Manning Passing Academy. It's not too much cooler today. Now, I think we're getting a winter blast tomorrow, but, man, you'd have to look at the calendar. You wouldn't know that it's November.
No, I'm ready for real football weather to hit down here, Mike. This is I'm not used to this. I'm from Michigan, man. I'm a Yankee down here on the Gulf Coast. This is not normal to me.
Jim, I'm gonna bring up two guys to you. They played their high school football not far from where I live, because I still live on the bayou. But Kyron Lacy from Thibodaux High School at LSU today, and Savion Jones went to St. James. And then I was at LSU. Your thoughts on their progression this year? I'm impressed with Savion. When I first saw him, I think he was a sophomore at St. James. He was barely 200 pounds. I think when he left St. James, I don't think his second number was a 2. Then he got real big. And Pete Jenkins told me this last year. Mike, I messed up with him, but I needed bodies at defensive tackle. And then we moved him back to defensive end. I think he has quietly had a really good season for the Tigers at defensive end.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. I think both those guys, and then you throw Braden Swinson in there too. I think those three guys at LSU made a really nice jump, and I think Miles Frazier, the guard, made a nice jump as well. I think those guys all really helped themselves. Yeah, Savion's a fun guy to watch. I do think he's more of a base end. At the next level, if he's in a 4-3 base end, if he's in a 3-4, odd front, I think he could probably hang at the 4-eye technique, 5 technique. But he's the biggest thing is the motor. I mean, I don't know if he played like this in high school, but the guy just played his tail off, and that makes him attractive to the Senior Bowl, because guys like that help themselves a lot down here. You get these NFL decision makers down here on the field with them. And they see the effort, and it draws you to him. And you turn on the tape, it draws you to him. So, he's improved his hand use. He's getting off blocks better. He's really had a good year. And Kyron Lacy, I think the biggest development there is just the catch consistency has been an issue in the past, and I think he shored that up quite a bit this year. It's been his turn. This was his turn to step up with Brian Thomas and I'm blanking on my boy. Malik Nabers. Yeah, Malik Nabers. With those two guys going off the league, this is kind of Kyron's time to kind of grab the mantle, and feel like he's had a good year as well.
One of the things, he did a camp with us in Thibodaux at Nicholls State, and he walked up to me before I even told him anything. He said, "I'm going to stop you from saying that I'm good for one drop a game." But he's had some games that you'll have that one drop in it, but he's gotten much. I agree with you. He's gotten much better, Jim, catching the football out front with his hands. He was a little bit of a body snatcher, to be honest with you. He catched that ball right up against his chest, and he tried to run with it, and then the ball would pop out of there. Braden Swinson's interesting because he didn't do squat at LSU a year ago. Nothing. I didn't see this coming, Jim. I'll be honest with you. He's an Oregon transfer guy. Whatever he got brought in with, now it has blossomed, and you can see his pass rush skills are very, very good. But he's the surprise guy for me on LSU on the defensive side of football.
They've done a great job. The new defensive staff, getting more out of some of these guys than we've seen in the past. And Braden's one of them for sure. If the draft were a year ago, had he come out in last year's draft, he wouldn't have been drafted. And now he's probably played himself into that fourth roundish type area, which that's a big jump, man. Mike, you know that.
That's a huge jump.
You jump 3 full rounds in a year in the NFL draft. That's a significant jump. So, Yeah, he's he's not in that top tier of rushers. He's probably in that next tier down, but he's certainly a guy that, you know, a year from now, we're talking next year, Thanksgiving week, and he's on an NFL roster. I do think he's going to be in somebody's rotation, in sub packages trying to get after the quarterback. So, yeah, he's another guy. There, like I said, there's been a handful of guys on that Tiger team that have helped themselves. And those three guys that we've talked about are certainly three of them.
One of the guys, too, I saw you gave the invite to Jack Besh when Jack signed here with Coach O. They were going to use him like a flex tight end. They thought that's where he would be best suited. And I don't want him running anchor on the 4x400-meter relay team, but he's a big target receiver. He knows how to get open. He can run routes extremely well. And he does a nice job of setting up a defensive back and gaining separation downfield. He's another guy. When he's going to go on a team, they're not going to get rid of him. He can do the little things very well, and he's a really good downfield blocker.
He's one of my favorite guys in the draft, Mike, in terms of, like, I didn't know a lot about this kid before the year. And to get into the tape this year, I do remember him at LSU. I do remember him. I think he led the team in receiving that COVID year, if I'm not mistaken. You're the LSU authority, not me. But I do remember this guy at LSU. I mean, they don't have a lot of white receivers at LSU, so I certainly remember this guy. But to see what he's done, like, I don't know what he's going to run a 40. I agree with your assessment of him. I don't know what the 40 time is going to look like. But to me, what he is, he's really good off the line of scrimmage. I mean, however fast he is, he hits top speed pretty fast. And that's, in my time with the New England Patriots, we had a guy like that. Now, totally different body types because Jack's a big kid. He's 220-some pounds. But Wes Welker, Wes Welker ran 4.7 flat coming out of Texas Tech, and that's why he went undrafted. But, being around Wes for all the years that I was, from 0 to 10 yards, I mean, this dude he got on top of people in a hurry. And that's what Jack Besh does. He's had a great year. I think he's a finalist for the Biletnikoff or semifinalist for that award, and he's earned it. He's a really savvy dude. I don't think he gets out of the fourth round now, and I think he's got a chance to go in the third. He's really, really put himself in a good position heading into this pre-draft process.
If he can run better than I think he can, I think you're absolutely right. Now, again, I don't know how quick and fast he's going to run, but, he's a quality guy. Really hard-working young man, knows how to run routes, and he's going to really help an NFL team. I talked to Mark Schlereff about this, not yesterday, but a week ago, about bringing in so many, and you do a great job of it, compiling all these offensive linemen. Because I think we're looking at it, Jim, a little differently today. If you can run the football, control the clock, okay, all the sexy stuff with pitch and catch with the receivers and tight end, that's never going to be out of vogue. But you got to run the ball, and you got to have big men that can protect and run block. You guys have done a tremendous job the last couple years in bringing that talent to Mobile. And so what does it look like this year in comparison to, say, the last 2 years where it was pretty thick along that offensive line? And they peeled off the board real fast.
Yeah, we did. I think we had 5 first-round offensive linemen last year and a bunch more on day 2. I do appreciate you saying that, Mike. But, this year's class is not to that level, not close, really. But it is a little better than I thought it was going to be. There's been some guys emerge and improve. The one position that's a concern, if you're a fan of an NFL team that needs a starting center, uh-uh, and you feel like you need to go and get one this offseason, you better start looking in free agency. There's maybe one or two guys, that our staff feels and the teams that we speak with, in our process that feel good about, drafting a guy and plugging him in. It's a really thin center class. There's a lot of backup level centers in this draft. There's not a lot of starting level centers. But I'll say that there are some good players at the guard position. The tackle position is going to be helped by a couple small school kids that have come on. And then a couple under the radar juniors that I don't think people are aware of and think they're going to leave. But a lot of what I do, Mike, and this is talk to the agent community. And this time of year, I'm trying to get a handle on which juniors are coming out because they can play in the Senior Bowl now. So some of the names that are coming across my desk are guys that, you know, that are kind of catching us off guard. And then when we go watch the tape, we're like, wow, this kid's really a good player. Maybe he should consider coming out. So I think the guard and tackle spot is going to end up being okay. It's just the center class. You better hope you have one, because there's not a lot of help in this year's draft.
And then the young man from Ohio State who I didn't think much of him leading into the season. I knew he was going to be their starter. Man, he really played well. Then he goes down last week to an injury.
Yeah, Seth McLaughlin, I hate it for him. You're right, Mike. I mean, these calls we do with teams, I talk to some friends around the league, director level, assistant GM, GM level guys, that they're like, man, if you would have read my report last year from Alabama, we crushed this guy. Yep. And this same conversation happened multiple times. And they're like, I almost had to recheck myself when I went into Columbus this year. Is it the same? Am I watching the same guy? So it's really too bad for Seth. He went from being a guy that wasn't going to be drafted a year ago, goes up to Columbus, and really played really. I mean, he was in consideration to be, second, third center off the board, probably in that fourth, fifth round range. And so, yeah, it's too bad. He I think it was an Achilles injury, so that's going to keep him out. But you hate it for him, but he's still going to get a chance to be an NFL player. You just wish he would have been able to go through this process healthy.
You keep tabs on college football so closely, and we see it in the SEC. That was a lot of debate. I know Nick Saban wanted all the SEC teams to play 10 other SEC teams. The big debate was, would they go to 9? After what I see this year, Jim, there ain't no way. You staying with 8 with the cannibalization that you see in the SEC, everybody chewing on one another. And I'll be honest, like that any given Sunday, now it's any given Saturday when you play in SEC football. That's how competitive it is. And that's what makes the last couple of weeks of the season so intriguing for everybody.
Yeah, you use the right word, Mike. I mean, I haven't thought of it that way. The cannibalization, I like that term, because that's what's happening right now in the SEC. I always look at this thing through an NFL draft prism. That's where all my eyes go. And again, when you look at it every year, which teams are usually there in the end of the four team playoff? It's the teams with the most NFL prospects on them. I mean, last year Michigan had the most NFL guys drafted, and they won the national championship. This year, we sent more invites to Columbus, Ohio than any other school. We sent 11 up there. The next most was Georgia with 6. So if that tells you anything, we think Ohio State's winning the national championship, or at least they should, if you're basing it off talent versus talent. But yeah, the SEC, I think you could, the teams you wouldn't want to see, you wouldn't want to see Ole Miss in the playoff. They've got an NFL front four. You wouldn't want to see Georgia in the playoff. I mean, they've got NFL dudes everywhere. Tennessee, you don't want to face them if you're one of these other schools from another conference, because they can heat up the quarterback like schools in other conferences can't. So, that's the tough part. You put LSU in some of these other conferences, they're probably running away with it. So the SEC, and again, I've lived down here for 18 years. I've been scouting for 25 years, and year in and year out, the SEC puts, it's usually around 25% of the draft. About a quarter of the draft every year is SEC guys. So, I agree with you. They certainly shouldn't be adding more SEC games. If 3 losses gets you out of the playoff, they certainly don't need to add any more SEC games to the schedule.
Last question for you, Jim. And I was disappointed in watching him early. I watched him closely at Manning Passing Academy, and that was Carson Beck. I thought he was aiming the ball. He was putting balls, and they were almost falling in front of a receiver. Now, the last couple of weeks now, he has started to heat up, and that's the guy I remember a year ago. And that's the guy I thought we'd see early in the season. And I think if there's a quarterback, and people certainly looking at Cam Ward, and he's made a great jump up the boards. Shedeur Sanders is, I think, most people's number one. But if there's one guy that can make a huge jump, and he makes Georgia scary, it's Carson Beck. If he plays like he has the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, no question. Carson was our top quarterback on the board coming into the fall. And, you know, for whatever reason, he's had a lot of spotty patches here. You know, he's turned the ball over in streaks. I had a good conversation with Carson at the Manning Academy. I was frankly worried he was going to play himself like Jaden Daniels did last year in a position as a lock top five pick where we wouldn't end up with him in the Senior Bowl. And I don't know, maybe he's pressing. Don't really know. You know, I talked to Kirby Smart about it last week about Carson and what's going on. But the good part is if you're an evaluator, he is bouncing back. You know, the last couple of weeks have been good. The first half against Alabama was tough, but he bounced back in that game. Like there is some bounce back to this kid. So the good news for Carson, you know, and if you're Carson and his family, if they can get into the playoff, which I think they should, if they can beat you know, kind of a pesky Georgia Tech team, he's got a lot of big stage games to make an impact with NFL teams. The NFL is going to be really focused on this 12-team playoff. They're big stage games, hostile environments, a lot on the line. And those are big games for quarterback evaluation. So, we thought he was the most improved college quarterback in last year. You know, going into last year's game, he and Jaden Daniels, I thought, were the two most improved quarterbacks. And he just didn't pick up where he left off. So, but again, there's still time. This is going to be a big December, a big January for him.
And you can win the offseason, too. Go to the Senior Bowl and you can win the offseason. Come on, Jim, you've seen that. You've seen guys do that.
Every year. No, that's why it's easy for me to sell this game, because I know the impact it can have on these guys and their careers. And I tell everyone, it's one thing for a scout like me to go into a draft room and pound the table for a guy, but it's a whole different level of buy-in when the GM and the head coach see him in Mobile. Trust me, I've lived that life for 20 years. Like, I've loved certain players, but the GM hadn't seen him or the head coach hadn't seen him in person, and it's just a little more difficult. So, I mean, these head coaches and GMs, they're just normal guys. They all started somewhere. And they're all just human. It's human nature. We want to surround ourselves with people we're familiar with. So that's my selling point to all these agents. I don't care if your guy's a first-round pick. He can still go higher in the first round, and it's impactful. When you're Mike Tomlin and you're walking around the Senior Bowl practice field for 3 days, and these guys are doing good stuff in front of you, it's impactful for them. So we'll see. We'll see where it goes. But we got Cam Ward signed up this week. We're excited about that one. And Mike, we appreciate you having me on the show, man. Happy Thanksgiving to you and all your listeners.
Thanks so much, Jim. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Always great to have you on. Tremendous insights. Thank you, buddy. That was Jim Nagy, the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl. And, man, you talk about the NFL congregating in Alabama one time of the year, and they there, brother. They there in full. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870. Ali Cosell, who covers the Pelicans, will be on with us right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTeggy along with Cullen Steele on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, covers the Pelicans and the NBA, Ali Cosell. Ali, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Absolutely, Mike. Let's see if we can bring some kind of magic. Put it up in the air and the Pelicans all of a sudden turn this thing around.
Yeah, hopefully. And, hey, look, a little bit of good luck. I tell the guys from Arthur LA when I get them on, and you always give me bad news. And, you know, Dr. Elias says, Mike, because you always – it's asking about an injury. I can't give you a good news on that particular deal, but finally good news with the return of DeJounte Murray. And I think you always need a catalyst on the court. You always need that guy. And he is a really good one with that. He's a good shooter, really solid on the defensive side also. But to set up everybody else, man, there's a few and far between that can do it as good as Murray. He is going to be a big addition to the lineup. We only got to see him in one game, and then he goes down. So I'm anxious to watch DeJounte, and can some of the other pieces come into place here?
Yeah, I don't think you're underselling this at all. I mean, all you have to do is look at how poorly the Pelicans have performed, right? We'll focus on the offense since that's where DeJounte Murray is really going to help this team, at least initially. And they were floundering. And then all of a sudden you saw them sign Elfrid Payton. And all of a sudden the offense, at times when he was out there on the court, really, you know, looked pretty good, leading to Elfrid Payton having 21 assists in the last game. So you can see that this team honestly does need that kind of conductor, right? Directing traffic, directing the offense. And they tried last couple years, given the primary responsibilities of Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson, but everybody knew it was time for a point guard because that just didn't work, right? That project didn't work. So, yeah, DeJounte Murray was that big acquisition over the summer, and unfortunately, injuries have gotten him too, and we've only seen him for one game. But I will say, in that one game, that season opener, he led the Pelicans to an impressive win, and the offense was so good. He didn't have a good shooting night, but you know what the team did? They got out and they ran. They forced their turnovers and played the style that Willie Green wants to, where it led to 29 fast break points. That's still their season high for the year, that, just that first game. And if they can do that, that's what's going to help them get the easy points, Mike. And look, here's a good stat to check out tonight. How many fast break points do they score tonight? Anytime they've had 15 or more this year, team's actually 14-1. If they come in under 15, 0-13. So that's what I'm going to be looking at, DeJounte Murray, and just how quickly they can get in their offense.
One of the things in talking to people who cover the league was that they were surprised a little bit. Now, I noticed teams have been ravaged by injuries, but they were always good on the defensive side. You haven't seen that this year. And again, it's all about who's on the court, but they haven't played really good defense. And hopefully when you can get some of the other pieces in place, that'll come around, because that's what Willie Green was selling. Fast break. Get the three up, score, but play great defense. This team hasn't done any of that.
No, and that's right. That's supposed to be their calling card. That's what Willie Green really that's where he begins everything, right? All his schemes, drawing up plays, and just their style of play. It has to start on that end. And to your point, previous two seasons, they were a top 10 defensive team, right? Borderline almost in the top five. And this year it's fallen off a cliff. And the reason really is it's the personnel.
Yeah.
Right? They played one way. They had most of their guys available in preseason, especially up in training camp. And all of a sudden you're asked, well, you're going to not have maybe six, maybe top seven players of your rotation. So if you do that, all of a sudden you're putting guys together that have never played. And more, you don't really have the practice time for them to get acclimated to one another. So that's why, honestly, the defense has looked terrible. But of late, I know there was a back-to-back games where, you know, they had a drubbing of to Dallas, and I forget the other opponent. But outside of those two games, the defense has looked a lot better, right, over the last 10 games. So hopefully it's trending in the right direction. And you got to remember, Eve Missy, he's a big part of it. He's a rookie. I think once he gets acclimated a little bit more, you'll see, right, that cohesion, the stops, it'll get better. Because we're seeing more glimpses of it now than we did earlier in the year.
Yeah, and again, basketball I don't think is that hard to pick up, but he didn't have a lot of experience to pick it up. And I think there's nothing like playing, okay? Somebody can tell you something, but you got to play. And I think that was the issue with him. He didn't have a lot of court time, and the more court time he's going to get, I think the better off he'll be as a player. The one shocker to me is, and I could have never picked this up, Brandon Boston. How well he's played for the Pelicans so far this season. Your thoughts on Brandon?
Yeah, Brandon Boston's been a nice find, to where the Los Angeles Clippers waived him because they, for salary cap reasons, needed to lose some money, basically. So they jettisoned him, and the Pelicans picked him up off of waivers. And I honestly think he's the best two-way player in the league, right? If you watch just a couple of his games, he can do basically everything on the court, right? He can initiate the offense. He can hit a shot. He can drive. And also, he can play some defense and get you a rebound, right? He can do almost everything on the court. But he's only, again, 22. He's never really been in this position before, right? With the Clippers, he saw a minimal role, so he wasn't getting the minutes. But now he's getting those minutes. And like I said, it looks like the Pelicans found themselves a piece for beyond this year. I would not at all be surprised if they tender him a contract sometime this offseason. Will they keep him around for at least a few more years?
I agree with you, Ollie. I think you hit the nail on the head with that one. Ollie, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate your time and insights. And let's see if they can put a W up against the Raptors.
I hear you. I want to see it. That'd be the greatest little gift before Thanksgiving, right? Before our bellies get full.
There you go. Thank you, Ollie. Appreciate it, bud. All right, Ollie Cosell, who covers the NBA and the New Orleans Pelicans. And you can hear that game tonight, pregame at 6:30. At 6:30, yes. And tip-off at 7 o'clock, the Pelicans and the Raptors. Todd Graffanini with the call. We'll be back to finish it off here in hour number one of Sports Talk right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk, finishing up hour number one, I want to thank Jim Nagy, executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, along with Ali Cosell, does a great job covering the NBA and the Pelicans. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
To this news break. Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Cullen Steele running things behind the scenes. We'll have Steve Geller join us at 5:45 for our triple option feature. Brad Evans from BetMGM tonight will join us at 5:20. Want to tell everybody right here on the Big 870 WWL at 6:30 will be the pregame between the Pelicans and the Toronto Raptors, and tip off at 7 o'clock. You hear Todd Graffanini give you the call from, man, I can't believe that Toronto has not won a game on the road this year.
That is news to me, and it's news that is making me smile.
Hopefully, that trend continues.
I mean, they're 4-14, 4-13. I mean, they're
not too good.
They're in the depths with us right now.
But I thought that at least one of those would have been an away game. Let me go through the Saints injury report today. Eric McCoy, Lucas Patrick did not participate, and we'll have to keep a close eye on Eric McCoy. It looks as though something happened there with the groin at the. In the second half against the Browns. And so, man, we'll see what happens by Friday, because that's going to be the key day for Eric.
Yeah, and I was going to say, Jeff tweeted out earlier, Jeff Nowak, you know, he tweeted out that they don't have practice tomorrow. They're taking the day off.
No, it's going to be Friday.
So they don't practice tomorrow. So we'll get an estimate of an injury report. You know, you could check it out on at Jeff Nowak.
Yeah, Jeff will have it on his X site or Twitter site, however you want to put it. Two players had limited participation today. Foster Morrow, tight end with a shoulder injury. Jamal Williams, he's also battling a groin injury. He was limited. Full participation today, and we saw it. Man, he came out there almost like a club on his hand, Pete Werner, and he had full participation today. And Tano Passano coming back off the Achilles injury, and that's good news. He's in that 21-day window that you can put him back onto the active 53-man squad. Let me answer one of the texters ask about Jack Besh, and Jack is the wide receiver now at TCU, and you heard Jim Nagy talk about him at 4:20 that he did get an invitation, accepted that he would go to the Senior Bowl in Mobile. His relationship to some of the other Beshes that have played, and man, they had a bunch of them there. Brett and Blair Besh, Brett and Blair, well, his uncles, and his aunt, Brina, she was on the first soccer team at LSU. And, man, I remember Jack's older brother, Tiger. That name stuck with me, Tiger Besh. He went to Princeton, and he was an all-Ivy League punt kick return guy. So, yeah, he has a lot of ties. And that's where he started his college career, at LSU. And I told Jim the story that Coach O had told me he wanted to use him like a flex guy, like a tight end, because he was 222 pounds in that range. And then when Coach left, he left too. He went to TCU. He's putting up some really strong numbers for TCU this season and getting that invitation. And Jim feels as though he could quite possibly go as high as the fourth round. Also today, Cat Terrell broke this story that Nathan Shepard, who was fined over $11,000 for the trying to tackle Justin Herbert, and they thought it was sort of a dirty hit. Well, he's won his appeal to the NFL, so you get to keep that $11,000. But, man, come on, you got to look at it from his standpoint. He can't see if the ball's thrown or not thrown. Not where he caught him.
No, he's staring at the ground. How's he going to know?
And then, boy, one of the Charger guys just drilled him on that, and so they both got personal foul penalties. But does not he did win his appeal from the NFL on that. Well, they thought it was a dirty hit, but when you watched it, it was not a dirty hit. He was just trying to bring a big man like Justin Herbert down. He's a big dude playing quarterback. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870. We'll have on with us Brad Evans from BetMGM tonight right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Cullen Steele. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is the host of BetMGM tonight and Odyssey Sports BetQL insider Brad Evans. BetQL insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the BetMGM Tonight podcast for more analysis. Just search BetMGM Tonight wherever you find your podcast. Happy Thanksgiving Eve, Brad. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
Happy Turkey Day, gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
Brad, right off the bat, we're going to give it to you. Tulane, Memphis, kind of a showcase game. Man, if my memory's right, I think that's the only college game tomorrow night. How about that?
Yeah, look, it's definitely a marquee island matchup, to say the least. I'm going to lay the chalk with the Wave. I mean, they've been tremendous all season long. One of the most balanced teams in the country. I mean, you saw their name up there with the bright lights on the College Football Playoff Ranking Reveal Show yesterday. Team that's really firing all cylinders right now across the board. Number 31 in the country, EPA per play offense. This season, number 21 on defense, and Memphis has been subpar, really defensively. That's where they're not really singing the sweetest song, to say the least. Number 85 in the country in EPA per play defense. I know Tulane is laying 13.5, depending upon where you shop, but I think they're going to win this thing by 17+. So I think the Green Wave is going to be a bit of a tsunami on Thanksgiving Day.
I'll stick with college football. Texas A&M, man, they got caught in a trap Saturday. Auburn caught them. Now, they had numerous chances to win it, to be honest. But your thoughts here, and it was so funny. We heard Mike Elko say, man, we're not looking ahead to Texas. He realized, you know, he was playing Auburn. He kind of misspoke a little bit. But, man, they didn't take Auburn serious, got beat there. Your thoughts, Longhorns, Aggies, and renew that rivalry back up again.
Yeah, Texas, what version are we going to get? You know, a team that it has shown they can, you know, play for the whole shebang and potentially win it at times. But there's been other instances where they have just fallen well short. I mean, you look at some of the advanced stats out there, matches the eye test, especially on the defensive end. Their success rate nationally against the run is number 72 in the country. That's not going to, you know, really pay the bills there in the end. And you're facing a Texas A&M team that has a top 35 offensive success rate on the ground this season. And, in fact, it's number 25 to be exact. So I think 5.5 points right now for Hook'em Horns. A little bit too much for me. Rivalry game, obviously, a lot at stake. A&M has been a bit of a roller coaster ride here the last couple of weeks. But I think they're going to cover the 5.5. I think Texas will win, but it could be by a field goal boot in the end. Give me A&M plus the points.
Brad. I'm going to switch it back over to the NFL, the big boys. We got a couple games tomorrow, though I will say out of those three, there's only one game I really want to keep an eye on. This Dolphins-Packers game. I feel like the first two are going to be, you know, Lions-Bears, I'm hoping it's a blowout. As much as I want to root for the Bears and Caleb Williams, I'm hoping it's a blowout. I like seeing the Lions just dump 60 on people. Cowboys-Giants, you couldn't pay me to watch that game. You really couldn't. But Bears and Packers, though. Or Dolphins-Packers.
That should take you a little nap.
That is exactly. It's 3:30 on Fox. It's a perfect time. What are you feeling about this Dolphins team going up to the Packers in like what will be like 20-degree weather?
Yeah, exactly. When you emerge from that tryptophan-induced coma in the afternoon, it'll probably get the energy level back up. I think this game's going to be a barn burner. I really do. I like the Green Bay Packers quite a bit because of the conditions expected. Might see a couple of snow flurries fly through the sky. No accumulating snow expected there in Green Bay. It's going to be confined more to the UP of Michigan and northern Wisconsin. So don't worry about that. But, yeah, game time temps probably around 25 degrees Fahrenheit there at Lambeau Field. It's going to feel darn right chilly. And you got a southern latitude team that is not used to playing in those kind of conditions. Now, they're kind of built for it. With Devon Achane, Raheem Mostert, Wright, they got the triumvirate of running back that can definitely fight and crack pads in chilly conditions. But can Tua step up? Can he show up and show out in the frigidness? I do have my concerns there, despite the weaponry around him and Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. I think Jordan Love, even without Romeo Doubs, was ruled out today due to the concussion he suffered last week. So Dontavian Wicks could be an X factor in this game. A guy that's been a roller coaster of a ride, really, to say the least of this season. He's had some big games. He's had some largely absent games. But he's a game that, this could be an output that he really shows up. And it's going to be a ton of Josh Jacobs on the ground. He's a battering ram. He is built for these kind of frigid conditions. It's going to be a minimum of 20 carries for him, probably a minimum of 80 yards on the ground. He's going to score at least one time. Give me Green Bay because Mother Nature is on their side.
I agree with you there. Let's go to Sunday and Saints-Rams. Brad, to be honest with you, the Saints have not matched up with the Rams over the years. I can't explain why. It's about some crazy games. But last year, Matt Stafford just ripped them apart. And Cooper Cup and Nakua, they were running free downfield. The Saints are hurting in the secondary. If they can't get pressure on Matt Stafford, now the Eagles did, but they got some guys up front. They got dudes that could push the pocket. If the Saints don't get in the face of Matt Stafford, it's going to be a long day. And I don't think the Rams are going to do a lot against the Saints offense. I think the Saints can score in this game. I just don't know about their defense.
Yeah, that's the biggest worry. There's no question about that. Matty Stafford, this guy can still really twirl the pill accurately and consistently in all facets, whether on short jump offs to Kyren Williams, working the intermediate field with Cooper Kupp, or some long bombs, whether it's going to Tutu Atwell or Puka Nacua. There's just so many weapons on this squad that I don't think the Saints have the bodies to really wrap him up and contain him. Alante Taylor's one of the most forgiving DBs in the National Football League this season. He's allowed the third most yards of any defensive back in the NFL. So that is an area of weakness, and I think Matthew Stafford's really going to take advantage of it. So, Taysom Hill, of course, always an X factor. Is he going to go out there and, run for another three scores? Highly unlikely. But because he can beat you, as a receiver, as a runner, the occasional passer, he's that weapon, that Swiss Army knife, who is, if he is sharpened, can really plunge a dagger into the back of the L.A. Rams. But I think the Rams just have too many weapons all around, too balanced offensively. And that defensive front has got a lot of push here of late. They're going to try to collapse the pocket, really ramp up the heat on Derek Carr. So I'm going to leave the chalk eyes on the road with L.A. at the 2.5.
Brad, somebody text me this, so I know he got money on the game. Oklahoma State, Colorado.
Oh, really? Oklahoma State, Colorado. Well, look, I would side with the Buffs on that one. I know that they fell short, obviously, last week, and a team licking their wounds a little bit, and they were on a path maybe to sneak into the college football playoff. But, of course, right now they're going to be out of the mix, unfortunately. A team that's trying to vie for a very, suitable bowl game. I think they're going to go out there and crush Oklahoma State. Right now Colorado projected really scoring anywhere between 40, 45 points. I think entirely doable. Is Oklahoma State this season, guys, number 111 nationally in defensive success rates. So the Cowboys shooting a lot of blanks in that capacity. Shedeur Sanders and company should really pile up the points. So I'll lay the chalk and a heavy amount of chalk with the CU Buffs.
I think this point spread's 2.5. Clemson, South Carolina. South Carolina it's got to be one of the hottest teams in college football that we've watched down the stretch. And Clemson, it depends on when you watch them, to be honest with you. I think Clemson's got more talent, but, man, they're so erratic. So your thoughts, Clemson, South Carolina.
Yeah, I like the Gamecocks here, guys. They're catching 2.5 points, and a lot of the advanced data that is out there is really pointing to saying, hey, back South Carolina in this game. They have the 8th best defense, according to EPA per play data. They've been outstanding in that capacity all season long. Clemson, you never know what you're going to get with them. Very erratic, very unpredictable, and I just like teams with, you know, sizable and suitable defenses this time of year. And South Carolina has a ton to play for. Yep. You know, whoever the loser is going to be out of the playoff mix. Whoever wins has more than a puncher's chance of punching their ticket for the second season in the college football expanded playoffs. So a lot at stake in this game. But give me the Gamecocks plus the 2.5, and I'm going to sprinkle some action on the money line as
well. Okay, super.
All right, Brad, something to keep an eye on in the early window Sunday, because we've got the afternoon window for once, is the Chargers and Falcons. Chargers are 1-point favorites in Atlanta. Tell me, are you flying high? Are you bolting up? What are you thinking?
I'm flying high, honestly, on the total, guys. I grabbed that immediately when it opened at BetMGM at 47.5. I think it's up to 48 right now. I would still play it. I think this game's going to be comfortably in the 50s in terms of the total points scored when it's all said and done. You got two electric offenses. The Chargers number 12 in the NFL at EPA per play offense. Atlanta number 13. You know, Justin Herbert's really been twirling the pill beautifully here the last handful of games. You know, maybe hopefully Quentin Johnson will actually catch some of the passes thrown in his general direction, like we saw in the last effort against the Baltimore Ravens. But, you know, Atlanta can definitely move the football as well. They got all kinds of weapons across the board. Bijan Robinson, DeJour gets it done on the ground, gets it done through the air. I think there's got to be points aplentiful in this matchup. That's the best bet in my mind. And Chargers and Falcons, the over, 47.5. And again, I played up to 49.5.
Before I watched the Alabama game against Oklahoma, I thought LSU would win this game, and maybe convincing. I've watched Oklahoma all season long. They've not really impressed me. Then all of a sudden, you know, Jalen Milroe sort of helped them a little bit there. He threw up a couple of lollipops, and they really played well against Alabama, to be honest with you. Your thoughts, LSU, Oklahoma, first time Oklahoma's ever played in Tiger Stadium.
Yeah, look, I like LSU. I'm going to lay the chalk here with the Tigers. You know, Oklahoma, that might have been more of a mirage that they showed. You know, a lot of people could have been in thinking, hey, you know, the sun shines on the dog's behind again in back-to-back weeks, but I don't think that's going to be the case. I mean, you look at Oklahoma on the season, guys. Offensive success rate data is very telling. They're number 74 in the country running the football and number 122 in the nation passing the football. That is no bueno, mi amigos. LSU's a team, obviously, very balanced, fantastic offensively, number 10 in all of college football at EPA per play offense. I'm going to follow the advanced numbers, the analytics pointing me in one direction only, and saying, go Tigers.
Eagles, Ravens, and man, you watch the Ravens, and sometimes they look really good. I think last week that's the best I've ever seen them play defense all year long. And then you saw the demolition job Philly did on the Rams, and my God, Saquon Barkley, you talk about having an MVP season, he's having one in an Eagles uniform.
Yeah, he really is, and very much in that conversation for the Covenant War. Last person to win it, not a quarterback, was a running back. That was Adrian Peterson back in 2012. So, you know, it's been a minute, but he's very deserving of that honor and adding a trophy to the case. The over-under on his player prop this week is really interesting, guys. It's at 91.5. Now, he obviously smoked that last week. He's still piling up runs of like 20-plus yards, it seems like, against the LA Rams. And, you know, it's running for 255. I kind of like living in a land down under, honestly, on that number. You cannot run on the Ravens. Number 3 in the NFL in rush EPA defense over the last 5 weeks. On the season, only give up 3.30 yards to carry the running back position. 66 yards per game on the ground, RBs as well. The most yards they have surrendered to a running back rushing the football, Najee Harris, who had 63. So can Barkley obviously get to 92, yeah, he's more capable of doing that. But I think the Ravens are really going to tighten the screws in the trenches, force Philadelphia airborne a whole lot of Jalen Hurts down the field to A.J. Brown. You could throw on the Ravens all good diggity day long. They did show and made some strides last week. But I think the key cog in this game is going to be A.J. Brown and that connection with Jalen Hurts. And I think Saquon Barkley may actually take a little bit of a back seat, but I'm probably going to be horribly wrong about that.
Interesting game for me. Pittsburgh, Cincinnati. You look at what Joe Burrow has done. He would be in the conversation as NFL MVP. But his defense is so lousy. He's got to score almost every time he has the football. And then you go up against the Steelers. And right now, you know, the Steelers have played some really good football. And they're better offensively, Brad, than I thought we would see this year, to be honest with you.
Yeah, they are. The major concern that I have with Pittsburgh right now is defensively, shockingly. The steel curtain is more like the soft curtain when it comes to defending the run. They are number 31 in rush EPA defense the last 5 weeks. Nick Chubb was able to get not one but two touchdowns. That was a bit of a war of attrition there in the snow game. They are in Cleveland. But, you know, you look at the matchup this week, and, you know, it's not going to be the easiest road to hoe to say, you know, by any stretch of the imagination. When they're facing my guy, Chase Brown, formerly of the ILL, and really getting it done right now. 25 carries seemingly every single week. His role in the pass game has really ramped up. He's been catching everything as a check down weapon or design looks as well, left and right. He is going to be the X factor in this game. And if Pittsburgh shows some cracks in the dam yet again on the ground, I think the Bengals are going to win this thing. So I'm going to go with my gut here. Okay. I'm going to lay the chalk in the -3 with Cincinnati. And I think Chase Brown's going to show up and show out in this contest.
Are you shocked with the line Ohio State, Michigan? Now, Michigan has not played well this season at all. I think this might be put the boots to them type game. If Ohio State gets ahead, man, they're going to kick them around because they've had some awful losses to them the last 3 years with Harbaugh. Your thoughts on that? What is it, 20.5? Ohio State over Michigan? Good gracious, that's a huge line. But I think for a lot of people, Ryan Day knows this matters to the fan base in Columbus. And I think if he gets a lead on him, he's not letting off the accelerator.
No. He's going to run him over. He's going to throw it in reverse, run him back over, and then throw it in drive and run him over one more time. It's going to be an epic smashing here, guys. Ohio State far and away the better team, and you might say, oh, rivalry game, throw all the spreads out the window. It's not remotely close. Michigan doesn't have a quarterback. That's been their biggest issue all season long. I saw it front and center in Champaign, the loss against the University of Illinois in that game. They can't throw with the damn. They can't really move offensively where the darn either. And defensively, as good as they have been this season, Ohio State just has way too much speed, way too many weapons. And Michigan, number 55 in EPA per play offense on the season, they're going to get trucked. So I would lay the chalk. Heck, I would lay it at 29.5. I think Ohio State wins this by 30 or more.
That's a lot, but the only one thing with Michigan they can think about next year, they got the best quarterback money could buy, so to speak, with Underwood, and God bless him. Man, listen, if they can pay you like that, and if he was my son, I would tell him, take that cash too. You don't get too many opportunities that way in life. Brad, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, brother.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, John. Guys, and enjoy the gluttony. It's a glorious day.
All righty. That was Brad Evans, host of BetMGM Tonight and Odyssey Sports BetQL Insider. Brad Evans, BetQL Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. When we come back, triple option. Steve Geller joins Cullen and I right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Steve Geller, Cullen Steele. It's our triple option feature. Before we go to that, what did the texters put in? They should just put flags on the quarterbacks in the NFL. Go Saints. You know what the NFL is looking more and more like? I see it in the summer. 7-on-7.
Yeah,
the way they treat quarterbacks and even receivers today—they're getting to be that point. You know why? They're getting paid, both the quarterbacks and the receivers. Steve, you first on Triple Option.
Well, I've got some audio that a lot of folks—I don't think you're going to comprehend what you're hearing—but I had to play it. Good old former Pelican DeMarcus Cousins. He believes that Zion Williamson was set up to fail because he was drafted to a city like New Orleans. Here's what's Boogie's words when he featured on the Run It Back show on the FanDuel TV.
Let's rewind all the way back. When this guy was getting drafted, we knew he was going to New Orleans and it was a weight concern. That was bad then. New Orleans isn't some place that just gives health. Like, this, that's a place you go, you gain 10 pounds. You know, you go out there, you drink, have a good time. That's what the culture of New Orleans is. So to put that kid in that situation and expect him to thrive in it, that was the first mistake.
All right, Cousins. Yeah, it's let the good times roll here, but as a professional, you need to be disciplined. I think that blaming New Orleans for drafting Zion and setting him up for failure is utter ridiculousness.
No, you're getting paid to play. And your deal, whatever you do off the field, okay, it's your personal business. But my thing about it is, don't let it affect your court presence. And I think it has with Zion. I think it has.
Weight's been an issue, right.
Especially early on. I think he's better with trying to keep himself in shape than what he was earlier. But you can't blame the city of New Orleans for that. Man, you talk about conspiracy theories. Boy, that's a real stretch on that one.
I think Boogie's just missing the cooking over here.
Yeah, I think he is. Cullen?
All right, guys. I'm getting this from NFL and CBS. I don't want to be the anti-Homer, but I'm starting to get on the Bo Nix Rookie of the Year hype train. QBs with 20 total touchdowns in two or fewer turnovers in a 10-game span within a season over the last 10 years. Rodgers did it in 2014 and 2021. Tom Brady, 2016. Patrick Mahomes, 2020. Drew Brees, 2018 and 2019. And Bo Nix this year.
Y'all, you're not being a homer picking that.
He's cooking. He's doing such
a
good job.
He's done really well. Now, against the Saints, he was El Lazio. He had five passes. They were wide open, and he missed them. I'm talking about high school open.
That was very head scratcher.
You watched him the last few weeks. He's really played well. Really, really. And I got to give Coach Payton a lot of credit with that, because that's his baby, so to speak, to figure out a system that best suits the quarterback. And I think he's done it with Bo. And Bo's got a thick hide. You know, I know his papa pretty well. You know, he's a former player, too.
And need it with Sean, for sure.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, he got that twofold with Sean. But you got to give Bo Nix a lot of credit. And Jaden, I think Jaden is banged up, to be honest. I don't think the Commanders are saying it, but I think he's banged up health-wise.
I mean, odds were heavily in his favor a couple weeks ago. Currently, BetMGM just talked to Brad about it, probably. He's probably thinking about it. Minus 175 for Jaden, plus 100 for Nix. He is closing that gap.
And fast. If Charlie Long has listened to this program, I'm going to tell him, put your hands over your ears. Because late last night, the L.A. Dodgers signed left-handed pitcher Blake Snell, two-time Cy Young Award winner. He won it in 2018 with the Tampa Bay Rays, and then in 2023 with the Padres. He signed a two-year contract with the San Francisco Giants, a two-year $62 million. But his agent drew in there, he could opt out after 1 year. So what did he sign with the Dodgers last night? 5 years, $182 million deal.
Cha-ching.
And, man, the rich just keep getting richer with the Dodgers, and they're not through yet. I've been told by some people that got a little bit of insights that they're not through throwing that money around.
Man, they ain't got more money for Soto, huh?
They might.
If you told that to Charlie, man, he'd have a fit over here. Y'all better put him in a different room than where we at.
Worse if all of a sudden the Dodgers decide we're going to bring a veteran in like Alex Bregman.
No, that might do it, too.
That would certainly send Charlie over the edge.
That might do it, too. That's it for our Triple Option. We come back. We'll finish it up here in hour number two on Sports Talk on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870. Remind everybody, at 6:30 tonight, it will be pregame as the Pelicans take on the Toronto Raptors, who have not won an away game this year.
Unreal, right?
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
0-10.
And then tip off at 7 o'clock. You can hear Graf give you the action right here on the Big 870 WWL. Just want to tell everybody, have a happy Thanksgiving. Be safe out there. And, man, it's a nice time. Hang out with family, friends. And it looks like some inclement weather tomorrow from what I hear. So might be some snuggle weather. How do you say that, Steve?
Yeah, and unfortunately, Mike, these games on Thursday, nothing really too exciting on Thanksgiving action.
Not early.
For the
it's
NFL,
not,
at least. We got Tulane at night.
Yeah, and but I'm interested in Dolphins-Packers. How the Dolphins will handle that cold weather. They normally haven't handled it well. We'll be back with more sports talk right after this news break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Welcome on in, folks. It is Wednesday, November 27th. It's Thanksgiving Eve. Steve Geller along with Charlie Long will bring Charlie Long. It is Cullen Steele, not Charlie Long, behind the glass today. Bringing you till 6:30 this evening. That's when we'll go to pregame coverage of the Pelicans taking on the Toronto Raptors, a 7 o'clock tip-off in the Smoothie King Center. Really, real quick recap of today's Saints practice. The initial practice report for Week 13 has come out for the Black and Gold. Not practicing today, Eric McCoy, Lucas Patrick, both offensive linemen, will be something to keep an eye on as we keep going forward. The team will not be practicing tomorrow on Thanksgiving. They will on Friday, though, so we'll keep an eye on all that. Limited for the Black and Gold, tight end Foster Moreau and running back Jamal Williams, and then a full go listed are Pete Werner and welcome back Tano Passanio. That window for him to get back in action has opened up for the Saints, and it'll be interesting, obviously, to see if he can provide something for them, a little bit of pass rush, defensive line depth going forward, and any kind of help in that category is definitely welcome for a Black and Gold bunch that's going to need to apply that pressure, especially Sunday against a guy like Matthew Stafford. Not a very mobile dude, obviously, but, man, he can sling it, very accurate, and he's got two targets that are lethal.
Oh, there's so many targets that are lethal, and they're the utmost of lethal. They're not even, like, kind of lethal. Like, on a good day, they'll kill you. On a right. bad day, they'll destroy you. One of them could.
You look at their numbers, both Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp, they missed time this season because of injuries, but they're still in the top 10, I think, of the NFL in receiving.
And, I mean, that speaks to them. It also speaks to Stafford.
Sure.
But, again, as I was here covering it, that Sunday game against the Eagles –
right.
If you get to Stafford, that offense just collapses.
Exactly. That's been the biggest key, getting that pressure, getting the sack numbers to give that speed up that clock in his head, make him uncomfortable. But when he's had time and hasn't had gotten sacked, obviously you see those numbers are pretty inflated in the passing category.
No, he'll tear you apart at that point.
Looking at tonight's action, we're going to be interested, obviously, the Pelicans are back, and who is also back? DeJounte Murray for the Pels. It's been a long time since the season opener. I can't believe, you know, we just got that glimpse of what it was going to be like for him in this lineup. Ends up suffering that hand injury and coming back tonight against the Toronto Raptors. And man, oh man, Colin, I've talked about it. We've said it before. This Raptor squad has not won a road game this year. Hopefully that first one is not tonight.
I've said it earlier, they're in the depths with us. They are, what, we're 4-14.
They're 4-14, too. Same identical records.
I mean, we're a 1.5-point favorite. I don't, you know, I'm not going to put money on anything. I'm just going to cross my fingers and pray that by the time I drive home, we'll be up.
Right.
That's
you saw that Brandon Ingram was not going to be playing tonight.
Brandon Ingram is out.
Right.
Trey Murphy is out. Jordan Hawkins is a game time decision. Hopefully, before
right.
we get off the air, we'll have an idea of a lineup. I believe CJ is playing. We know Murray is playing.
Right.
Eves is fine, but B.I. and Trey are going to be out tonight.
Coach Willie Green addressed the media just minutes ago talking about this matchup and obviously DeJounte Murray being back in this Pels lineup. And here's a little about what Coach Willie Green had to say pregame.
Obviously, DeJounte is a go. He's available. Just what is it going to mean to be able to get him back into the lineup?
We're all excited to have him back. He's a huge part of what we want to accomplish this year. He's a huge part of our team. He's been working his tail off to get his rhythm, get back on the floor. He's excited. And the more that we can get our guys healthy and get them on the floor, you know, the better we can see what our team looks like.
When you look at Toronto, you wouldn't think of them as, you said, getting steals and deflections, yet they're number one in the league in fast break points.
Mm-hmm.
How are they able to do that, and what's the emphasis tonight on transition defense for you?
Yeah, they're really good using their length, their size. They're scrappy. They pick you up full court, and they try to cause havoc in that way. And if you're not secure with the ball and getting into your sets with force, they can turn you over. They do a great job of executing in transition. They're a really good offensive rebounding team. So when shots go up, you know, our guys have to have an understanding that you can't just go and try to out-jump them. You got to hit bodies, secure the rebound. Now it allows us to get out an open floor.
Pirtle's averaging like 4.5 offensive rebounds by himself. How important is, you know, being mindful of him and the Raptors in general on the glass tonight?
It's a huge emphasis. In order to give ourselves the best chance to win the game, you got to keep them out of transition. You got to take care of the ball offensively. That fuels their transition, and you have to keep them off the offensive glass. They do a great job. You know, sometimes they send 5 guys at one time, and they're all, you know, long, athletic, physical guys. So it's a huge emphasis going into this game.
What's kind of the feel on the B.I. and Trey injuries? Do you think it's something that'll be more than just one game, or is it kind of day-to-day? Just what do you kind of think, you know, as far as what you know?
Well, I hope not. As far as I know, it's more of a day-to-day thing, but, you know, that's more of a medical, maybe Griff question, but as far as I know, day-to-day.
And with somebody like DeJounte, knowing, you know, the idea of bringing him here was to have him be kind of the spearhead, the offense, having a guy that's been out that long and coming back into that role, what's kind of been the emphasis to the guy kind of working him in, but also understanding that he's got to kind of get back into the flow with everybody else and understand, you know, how to execute where he can play it as well, so also bringing the best out of everybody else?
Yeah, it'll be a little rust. That's to be expected for anybody that's missed as much time. But, you know, he's excited to get on the floor and attack each and every game, and we're excited to have him. I think, you know, he could surprise us and be better than we all think he can. And, you know, he's a prime-time player. He's been doing it for a long time. He loves to compete, and, you know, we'll be excited to get him back.
You kind of already addressed this with that, but have you been able to tell, like, just how amped up he is to get back out there?
Yeah. He's talked about it, talked about not being able to sleep, things like that. And, you know, he's excited. He loves to get on the floor with the guys. He's been great in practices the last few days. So we're ready to get started.
That was head coach Willie Green before the Pelicans get ready to take on the Toronto Raptors, a 7 p.m. tip-off right here on WWL AM and FM this evening. 6:30 pregame coverage about to get underway. You heard coach Willie Green obviously talking about the return of DeJounte Murray, how much he's going to mean to this Pels roster. He spoke a little at practice yesterday as getting ready and amping up his return, and here's what Murray had to say. A lot of interesting stuff here to find out some things going on off the court beside his injury, what Murray was dealing with.
DeJounte, how has this injury been for you? It's not something you've had to deal with in your career.
Oh, I mean, first and foremost, it was tough. I appreciate the Pelicans leaving a lot of stuff private during that. Before the first game, my mom, she had a stroke, you know, so it was tough to, you know, leave and go deal with that. And then as she got better, to come back and, you know, she wanted me to come play. As she got better, she wanted me to come play. So I came back the first game, and I think it was just God, like, nah, you need to stay with your mom. You know, so there's a lot going on to it, man, a lot. You know, the injury comes with the game. You know, I was more concerned about my mother. You know, that was my priority because I know how much I work, you know, how much I take care of my body. So I wasn't really worried about, you know, myself as far as recovering and all those different things. But, you know, it's been a long 4 or 5 weeks. I'm excited. You know, my mom's great. I'm healthy. I'm ready to go. You know, ready to, you know, help this team compete, you know, at a high level every single night. So, you know, that's really that.
How did you kind of juggle all that mentally? I mean, that's a lot to...
I mean, I've been through so much, man. You know, I'm numb to a lot. You know, I understand my position. I believe in God. So over time, as I mature, grow up, like I said, I believe in God. So, you know, things happen for a reason. And, you know, I pretty much take care of my mental, being around my family, my kids, you know, so that's important. And like this, doing what I love to do, you know, that was the tough part. Obviously, like I said, my mother, and then being away from basketball, it just was two lessons back and forth. But like I said, man, everything happens for a reason. I'm excited, and that's that.
What's that moment going to be like to be introduced and hit the court again?
Now I'm ready to hoop. You know, play for my mother. You know, she's going to be watching. She's doing well. And obviously play for the Pelicans, you know. I'm ready to compete, bring that winning spirit. You know, no excuses. I don't care who's down. I don't care how many games we lost. I just know every time I step on the floor, I feel like, you know, we can win games. That's just my mentality, and I feel like it can help carry over to a lot of guys. And that's it, you know, just go out and take it one game at a time. And, you know, the most important thing is trying to get healthy, you know. But at the end of the day, it's next man up in this league. I'm going to forever stand by that. You know, if guys is out, that means there's guys that need to step up.
Welcome back, Pelicans point guard DeJounte Murray. And you heard not just dealing with that hand issue beforehand, you knew he was out. Not at practice, dealing with some personal issues that was reported. And, yeah, he gave a shout-out to the Pels organization. Obviously, they're keeping things private. I guess he didn't want to let everybody know that mom was dealt with a stroke.
No,
and so he was, you know, dealing not only with his injury but also having to take care of his mother.
I want to say, and again, memory is funky. We've played so many games since then. It feels like it's been so long ago, but it honestly hasn't. It's been a month and a couple days.
That's
but
a long time, though.
Give or take. I want to say that the Pelicans, it was like we were talking that night. We were like, is
he going to play?
Is he going to play? Opening night, he ended up playing, and then he got injured like a day or two later. But because all we knew at the time was he had something going on with family. We were like, okay, well, we want to see you. We'll see you when you get back.
No, and he mentioned there, too, some things are meant to be, and obviously he felt like the injury occurred for a reason, and that reason so he could be at home while he's recovering to help his mom, too, getting back from her stroke. Glad to hear things are doing well in the Murray household, and obviously playing for her tonight. Hopefully he can put up a heck of a game, but I do know, man, oh, man, and you know, too, this lineup has been missing a ton of folks, but, man, we were so excited about the addition of DeJounte Murray, what he's going to bring all around the facilitator, the defense. Definitely excited to see him back on the court tonight. And hey, the city uniforms are going to be on display tonight as well.
And they got that hat too. I wasn't going to go to the game, but they've got that hat. I was like, oh, I maybe should have gone to the game. But I did want to say before we get too separated from it, he said something about you know, the guys that have been holding it down in his absence and kind of everybody's absence. And honestly, it's another addition of the Pelicans' draft and development of players has been incredible. You've seen Yves Mizzi like kind of taking the stage, and like now he's like, you know, starting constantly for the most part. He's doing incredible. Brandon Boston Jr., we'd all excel on. He was like, I really hope and really think this team's going to want to keep him out around in the long run. I hope so. Antonio Reeves had a good game. Like, things haven't good way, but we've been losing. Yes. Things haven't been as bad as they've been. You know, like, our future isn't shot just because we had 9 guys out. The future looks good. Can we get those guys back and stay good? Who knows?
Exactly, and hopefully this is a, you know, flux of guys coming back to this roster.
Yes.
Anxious to see the Pels in action tonight. 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock tip-off right here on 870 AM, 105.3 FM. We're going to take a break. We'll wrap up things when we get back here on Sports Talk tonight, right after this on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, I want to remind everybody it's not too late to win tickets to the next Saints home game against the LA Rams Sunday in the Caesars Superdome. You can score 2 premium tickets to the game, plus a pair of VIP tailgate passes from Bullseye Event Group, open bar with premium liquor, all-you-can-eat buffet from celebrity chef Aaron May. That's all overlooking Champion Square. Winning's easy. You just got to go to WWL.com/contest. Enter a chance to win tickets to the Saints' battle against the LA Rams from Dudley DeBosier, official injury lawyer of the Saints, and Saints Radio WWL. Some good news as we went to break, Cullen. We found out that Jordan Hawkins, dealing with back spasms, will be available for tonight.
I know, I'm so pumped. I was talking to you in a break. Expectations for the lineup.
Reinforcements, baby.
Lineup hopeful, nothing concrete. Murray, McCollum, Brandon Boston Jr., Green, Misi. Fingers crossed.
Right.
That sounds like a winner.
I'm interested to see, obviously, too, how many minutes Murray gets tonight in his first game back. Well, I'm sure there's going to be some kind of restriction where we won't get the full load.
I mean, what, 48 minutes in a game? I'd hope low 30s. That's what they did with Durant last night.
Enough,
I'd hope
right.
low 30s.
Want to remind everybody, too, happy Thanksgiving. And we got football tomorrow starting 11 a.m. kickoff, 11:30. That's Bears and Lions. Then the Giants and Cowboys will follow. And then the nightcap, Dolphins at Packers, all right here, WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. We're going to Pelicans basketball now. Pre-game coverage of facing the Raptors. Have a great night, everybody, and happy Thanksgiving. Who dat?